chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sunday morning I will preach, unless the Lord changes it, on the medicine that America needs. The medicine that America needs. And boy, I'm telling you, we're sick. America's sick. Amen. We need a shot. We need a cure. And God's got it. I'm going to preach on the medicine that America needs. Amen. And but tonight I want to. We've been doing the spiritual war thing, you know, spiritual warfare. And I said last week I was going to end it, but I got to studying today and I saw more. So I'm going to end it tonight. Okay, we'll go to something next week. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. I think I read this last week. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, you know, a device, this is a device. This is a device. It's a tool to write with. This is a device. It's a key to open a door, you know. This is a device. This is everything. Something you can use as a tool, a device is. And so, God tells us, that wilt not let Satan get an advantage over us, because we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant of his tools.
That's right.
And when he does get an advantage of us, it's not because we didn't know better. It's just because we wasn't paying attention. Amen. There's a device called an automobile.
Right.
If you step out in front of it, it's going to kill you.
Yes.
Now, that machine didn't know anything. All it did what it was made to do, which was go down the road. And you should have been aware. That's why we call those mopeds liquor sickles. Liquor sickle. Yeah. A man ain't got no more sense than half drink himself to death till finally has a car wreck and they take his driver's license or whatever for drunk driving. So he gets on a moped because it doesn't require driver's license. But I think if you're driving on the highway, it would require a driver's license.
Yes.
But it doesn't. And it's a device to get that person from one point to another. And I understand that he's got to go places. They don't bring liquor to you. He's got to go places. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest.
Right.
Now, that device in itself, we know what it'll do. But if we don't watch out, it'll hurt you.
Yes.
Now, we know Satan's devices. His devices are there to hinder our Christian growth. The tools that he uses, his devices, are there. He knows he can't take us to hell. We're saved forevermore. We have eternal life. We're going to live long as God lives. We've been redeemed.
Amen.
Our name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God would have to die for me to die. God would have to go to hell for me to go to hell. And so Satan knows that, but his tools in his toolbox, his devices are there to hinder my Christian growth, so I will not be a successful Christian. His devices are there to hinder my compassion for other people. You know, Jude says, having compassion on some, making a difference. And if he can use his toolbox, whatever he's got in there, whether it's hate or envy or lust or greed or whatever it might be, if he can take something out of that box and throw it at me to stop me from having compassion on other people and live selfishly and self-centered, he's got tools to do that. I believe that's what he's thrown at the church. Christians in the day we live in are the most self-centered generation that's ever lived on planet Earth. He's got devices that will hinder my holiness. He'll hinder your holiness. He said, without holiness, no man will see God. Holiness is God-likeness.
Amen.
God-likeness, that's what holiness is. And we as children of God, we're God-like. Christians mean like Christ.
Amen.
And we're wholly in Christ. And when we let Him live in us and through us and by us in this old wicked world, then they see Christ's holiness, not ours. But the old devil, he's got ways, devices to hinder our holiness. And then he's got devices to hinder our soul winning. That goes along with compassion. If he can get me to stop caring about other people and focus on myself more than others, then I will not try to win others to Christ. He's got tools to do that, whether it's a new house, a new car, a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend, a new job, a new bank account, a new drug, a new drink, whatever it is. He's got devices to hinder our winning other people to Christ. His devices are there to hinder the work of the local church. The church was put on planet Earth to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to go into highways and hedges and compel them to come in. The church was put here to represent Jesus Christ and His kingdom right here on planet Earth. And He's got tools to hinder that church. He'll hinder this one. And then His tools, His devices are limitless. They're limitless. You and I are little infinite creatures. We're not going to be here long. We're going to be that little dust in the wind they used to sing about. You know, you remember that, you old hippies? We're just dust in the wind. Y'all remember that? Well, that wasn't a rock song. That came out of Ecclesiastes. They put it in rock music. But in the song's true. We're only here. The Bible says our life's like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. We're short-lived. But His devices are not. They're limitless. They're timeless. We can't outlive them. You might overcome them today and think, well, that's wore off. And next week he brings that same device right back at you.
Absolutely.
They're limitless. And he might package it a little bit different. He might label it a little bit different. But it's still the same devices. He knows what works. Now, here's the ways that he uses his devices. I got to think about this today. I want to thank God for that little porch out there. That's become my office in this nice weather. I got me a table set up there. I get that lean back chair with the wheels on it. And I sit out there and thank God for that thing. Especially when it's raining just a little bit, you know. But listen, here's the ways that he uses his devices that we should not be ignorant of. Number one, he uses them to dampen our joy. If he can get you by one of his devices, whether it is the local news, the national news, or the world news, or the newspaper, the magazine, or Twitter, or whatever else, if he can use something to get you to look at your problems more than your blessings, he can dampen our joy. We'll be the most joyful people in the world.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
The Bible even goes as far as say, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
If we don't enjoy our Christian life, we're defeated.
Amen.
And there's a lot of Christians running around. Some of you locked up in your house tonight. You've lost your joy.
Yes.
Because the old devil's broke out some devices on you. Maybe it's the coronavirus. Maybe it's the evening news. Maybe it's the next door neighbor, whatever it might be. But see, if the devil can dampen your joy, he'll have you looking at yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
And if that doesn't work, he'll have you looking at other people.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow told me one time, he said, I would come to your church, but my wife comes. That's what he told me. He said, that's the only break I get all week. He was being honest. I said, well, I can tell you where she sits. She sits almost at the back. He said, she does. I said, yeah. He said, well, I still can't come. I have to look at her. I said, no, you won't. There's plenty of room on the front.
Yeah.
And if you'll sit on the front, you won't have to look at her. And I've been in churches where people did that. Haven't we? Up there at Independent Baptist Church, you'd have the wife at the back and the husband at the front, or over here, over there, something like that. But see, the devil knows he can dampen your joy. If he can't do it by looking at your bad situation, he'll get you to dampen your joy by looking at somebody else's bad situation. I'm going to tell you what to do. You ought to live for God and not worry about other people. How that? Yeah. Now you ought to worry about whether somebody's going to hell or not. But when somebody's got sin in their life or not living up to the standard that we think they'll live up to, ignore that and go on. You don't have to answer to God for those people. You got to answer to God for you. And you can have joy of the Lord because you can say, I've lived a good life today, and if I die tonight, I'm going to wake up in glory, and he'll say, well done.
That's it.
Amen. Quit worrying about what everybody else is doing. A fellow told me one time I was out knocking on doors. He said, I would come to your church, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, that's what I told him. I said, one more ain't going to make no difference. I had said, all churches are full of hypocrites. I said, we're all hypocrites sometimes.
Yeah.
I said, you like Walmart? He said, no. I said, you ever go? He said, yeah. I said, you hypocrite. Amen. We're all hypocrites sometimes. Don't look at other people. Don't let people rob your joy.
Amen.
And the devil will do that. He'll throw that one right in front of you every time you go to church. He'll put that one right in front of you. And the whole time, all you'll do is be thinking about that one. You know what you need to do? Look to him.
Yes.
The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. I'm going to turn this thing up. That whistling drives me crazy. That's one of his devices too. We're going to build a new church. That's not going to be over my head, okay? Listen, that's one of his devices. The devil knows I'm ADD and it's hard for me to concentrate with that thing whistling. But here's what we need to do. We need to look to Jesus.
Yes.
And we need to renew our faith every day. Every day's a new day. Every day's a new start. Every day's a fresh start. And we need to quit letting the devil use the device of dampening our joy by looking at others or looking even at ourselves. We say, well, I failed today. Wake up tomorrow and say, today's a new day. I don't have to fail today. I get to start all over every day. Amen. And the old devil will come around this crowd and say, well, I saw what you did yesterday and said, yeah, pray for me. I'm not doing that today. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I'm not ashamed to admit things when people say, well, I say, yeah, you're right. Pray for me. Amen. Pray for me. I'm trying to do better. I'm not looking at you or me. I'm looking at him. And, boy, here's another way. He darkens our sight. He darkens our spiritual sight. You know what that's called in the Bible? Doubt. Doubt will darken your spiritual sight. You remember when Jesus healed the blind man and he spit in the dust and he put mud on. And the man, when he first saw him, Hazel's backslid. She hadn't brought me any bottled water in a long time. There's none back there. And at first he said, I see men as trees. You remember that? Now, is that because Jesus didn't do a good job?
No.
No, everything he does is good. It's because the man had doubt.
Right.
He couldn't see clearly because he had doubt. So Jesus touched him again. He gave him a second touch. Now the old Nazarenes used to believe in the second blessing. You remember that? They said you got to get a second touch. They said you get saved by believing on Jesus Christ. And then you start dropping off all those bad habits and hobbies. And then after a while, you get good enough, you can get a second touch. You can get sanctified and get filled with the Spirit. Now, that's not all bad. They'd had their Bible doctrine mixed up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not all wrong. The greater we grow in our faith and don't let the old devil discourage us and cause us doubt with his tools, his devices, Our spiritual sight will get better and better, and we'll see things clearer and clearer spiritually.
Yes, sir.
You ever been reading the Bible through for the second, third, fourth, fifth? I better quit right there, Hatton. But you ever read something in the Bible and it really didn't do anything right then? But later on you go back and you read it again and you say, whoa, I've read that, I've never seen, I know what that means now. You see, you got to grow out of the doubt into the faith that you need. And the old devil, if he can get you to stop growing and start doubting, that's his device, doubt. He darkens our sight. Here's how he does it. Here's his devices. Sickness and pain.
Yes.
Sickness and pain, Sister Shirley, will darken. It will darken your spiritual sight. That's the tool he uses. When you was laying down there crying like a baby with that knee, you wasn't shouting and praising God and running around that room. If there was a prayer, it was, Lord, have mercy. And that's all you could focus on. That was it. And the old devil, he'll throw sickness and pain at us, knowing that that device will stop most people right there. I don't know what his name is. I used to know there's a guy has no arms, hands, and he has no legs. And he preaches. That's it. He preaches about the love of God and the grace of God and the greatness of God and the power of God and the forgiveness of God. And I looked at him and I thought, you ain't got a leg, you got stumps, and you have no hands or arms, you got stumps. Who am I to doubt God? Who am I to complain?
Yeah.
That little boy they had passing around the internet a long time ago, he's grown now, but he had autism so bad, you know, he sings for the glory of God.
Amen.
He sings for the glory of God. And the old devil, he'll pull that tool out. Sickness and pain. And I'm going to tell you something. You'd be surprised how many Christians have completely stopped growing once the sickness and pain comes. They quit.
Yes.
And even if they get well, they never go back to where they used to be. We're not ignorant of his devices. I'm going to tell you another thing that will darken your sight. One of his tools in his toolbox. The loss of a loved one. That'll darken your spiritual sight. The loss of either to sin. Maybe you lost your husband, your wife, or your children to sin. They just fell into sin and now sin has just eat them up. And the old devil will use that to darken your sight. Because see what you're going to do? You're going to focus on that and that alone. Or maybe they lost a loved one to death. And that's hard to get over. That's hard to get over. I looked at my mama when my last brother died while she was alive. And I thought, how does a mother go on through 7 or 8 children dying before her? How do you do that? It's hard. It's hard. You see, the old devil, he knows that. Because you see what that will do? It'll make us doubt the love of God.
Yes.
It makes us doubt the love of God. God, if you loved me, you wouldn't have took that person. God, if you loved me, this never would have happened to me. God, if you loved them, you wouldn't have let them go off and become a heroin addict. God, if you loved them, you wouldn't have let them overdose. God, if you loved me. See, doubt comes in and it darkens our sight. And the old devil, he knows that. It's hard to get over things. It takes the grace of God.
Yes.
It takes the power of God.
Yes.
It takes the love of God.
Yes.
To get us through these things. You see, we like to think of the devil as some little red man with horns and a pitchfork and a pointy tail running around poking people.
Yes.
Because we can laugh at that. But let me tell you, he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, whether it's spiritually or physically. He ain't nobody to play with. He's got some tools. He's got devices. And we're not ignorant of this stuff. We just forget. And sometimes it's the loss of things. Maybe we lose a job. Maybe you lost a job. A lot of people's lost their jobs. And then the old devil, he comes out and says, if God loves you, you wouldn't be losing your job. You'd have a good job. You had a good job. You made a lot of money and you bought a lot of stuff. And here, God's took your job. He's taken your career. Now he's taking your money. You might lose your property. Gonna lose your property. You can't live through this. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, devil. There's another guy that happened to. Old Job. And he lived through it. And he said, if God slays me, after skin worms has eaten this flesh, I'll still praise God.
Amen.
His wife said, won't you? Why didn't the devil take his wife? She was the one that wanted to discourage him all the time. She said, won't you cuss God and die? The old devil should have took his wife. She wasn't no good to him. But he kept on going anyway until finally God worked in him to see that he was a little bit self-righteous and he repented and got right with God and God doubled everything he ever had.
Amen.
Amen. You see, he knows, the old devil knows, he's been through millions of us. He makes us doubt God's love for us, especially in times of our personal sin. You see, sin can't take me to hell, but it can make me awful pitiful.
Yeah.
You see, I'm not talking about that little sin you committed today and got over it and got through it, but I'm talking about real deep sins and you get in it and you can't get out of it and it'll make you doubt that God loves you because of your sin. But see, what you don't understand was he paid for your sin, all of them, on the cross.
Amen.
Past, present, and future sins. The Bible says he hath, he doth, and he yet will deliver us.
Yes.
Well, Lord, whenever I look up there, you know, and I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. He says, what sins are you talking about? It's under the blood.
Yes.
You say, now wait a minute, when you got saved, you had to stop sinning. Well, then there's no hope for us then. That's what the devil will tell you. That's one of his devices, his lying. He'll tell you, boy, you done lost it now. God doesn't love you now. Look where you are now. And then in times of failure, and by the way, not all failure is sin.
Right.
In times of failure in our life, the old devil, he'll throw that doubt in there and say, look here, if God loved you, you wouldn't be laying down here on the floor like this. You wouldn't be in the mess you're in today. It makes us doubt ourself, and he says, God is holy and you're unholy. What you gonna do now? That's his devices. He'll rob you joy. He'll steal you peace. Look, the greatest tool that Satan has is doubt, so that you will doubt the love of God in your life and the power of God in your life to deliver you from anything and the presence of God in your life. If he can get us to doubt those three things right there, we're defeated. Nobody else is going to get saved because of us. There'll be no kingdom of God on earth as we pray his will be done, because our part will stop. If he can just get us to doubt the love of God. I think that's the biggest tool he's got. Brother Ed, I got some hammers at the house. I got some little hammers for tacks, and I got some bigger hammers for little nails, and I got some bigger hammers for big nails. But I got two sledgehammers. Amen. I got some devices. I got two sledgehammers. And sometimes the old devil, he'll come along at me and he's got that little hammer tapping on me. Just irritating me. And then later on he'll come along with that bigger hammer. He's got a six penny nail he's gonna drive in me. And then later on he comes up with that sledgehammer and he'll knock me down, hit me right in the head with that thing, knock me down. And if he can, he'll have me saying, God, aren't you there? Where are you, God? Where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Isaac? Where is the God of Jacob? And God says, I'm right here, son. I hadn't moved.
Amen.
Why'd you let him do that to me? It's going to make you better, son.
Yes, Lord.
It's going to make you better.
Thank you,
Lord. If you don't let it make you bitter, it's going to make you better, son.
Amen.
If you'll get up, you'll be stronger.
Yep.
But I said, God, I'm not holy. He said, no, but I am. I'll take care of that. But God, I've been unfaithful. Yeah, but I'm faithful. I'll take care of that.
Yes.
But God, I'm brokenhearted. He said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. And the devil puts his tools up. Every time I get a good job done, God comes along and messes up my job. Alright, well how do I defeat him? Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. That clock, that's right, ain't it? Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. That's another of the devil's devices. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, he's still working on me to make me what I want to be. Amen? How about James 4:8? You already know it. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
How about Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, preacher, I don't know what to do. You're not standing. You're not just to stand still. Sometimes that's all you got to do. And you'll defeat the devil's devices if you'll just stand still, draw nigh to God. Amen?
Yes.
And trust the Lord to finish the work that he's already started in you. And by the way, he's never had a failed case. Nobody's going to wake up in hell and say, God started on me, but I messed it up.
Amen.
And I'm in hell. That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to go to hell and say, God saved me, but he couldn't keep me. He said in Jude, now in him that's able to keep you and present you faultless.
Yes.
Faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. And there's your joy back right there.
Yes, sir.
We know his devices. His number one device is doubt. You know, Bob Jones Sr., of course nobody knows who that is anymore. He's a great, great old Methodist preacher. Old camp meeting Methodist, back when the Methodist was real. Had a gruffy voice like this. Had a gruffy voice. He'd tell those students at Bob Jones University, he'd say, you ought to do right. You ought to do right. He said, do right if everybody turns against you. Do right. Do right if you lose all your friends. Do right. He said, do right if the stars fall. Do right. You know what he's saying? Just stand there. Just stand. God will do the work.
Amen.
If we'll just trust him. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
What a blessing it is. Amen. I know it's devices, but I got news for you. I got a little device right here called the Word of God. And he can't take it. He can't take it. I can look at him like Jesus looked at him when he was messing with Peter and say, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'll cut him with my sword. Billy Sunday said, I'll bite him long as he got teeth. I hate the devil. I'll bite him long as I got teeth. He said, I'll hit him long as I got fists. I hate the devil. He said, I hate the devil. I'll kick him long as I got feet. And he said, whenever my hands fall off and my feet fall off and my teeth fall out, I'll headbutt that old devil. I hate the devil. I hate him. Amen. Don't you hate the devil?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So tonight, rest this week, let's don't be ignorant of his devices.
Amen.
Beware. Come on, Holroyd.
Turn to 284.
Altar's up if you need it. That's what we need to do right there. Don't look at me. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't even look at yourself.